Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Sean Sharif.
And I'm RJ Chubby. And we're the voices behind Sean and RJ, the show DFW wakes up to.
Cowboys, Rangers, Mavs, Stars, if it's happening in DFW sports or nationally, we're all over it.
Real talk, no filter, inside info, lots of laughs mixed in.
Whales for guests, and we're bringing the opinions and energy every single morning.
Follow and listen to Sean and RJ on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
New episodes drop every weekday, and as we say on the show,
get brains ready.
So a slow start from Miro Heiskanen, and I think we were all looking at that. But over the weekend, boy, what a great weekend for Miro Heiskanen. I loved his aggressiveness. I thought he was terrific as far as shooting the puck, putting pucks on net. Thought his passing was crisp. So, I mean, kudos to Miro Heiskanen. You know, maybe it just took him a little bit to get back up to speed. But we saw over the weekend some really good Miro. And I wanted to discuss this with you because one of the things that came up was now Miro's playing on the penalty kill and he was PP1 as far as being the quarterback of power play one. So power play one and then penalty kill one. Was it too much for Miro? I mean, that's a question I pose for you.
It has certainly been a noticeable change this year. You know, especially down the stretch last year with Heiskanen out, I think we got kind of accustomed to seeing Thomas Harley on the top power play. And then even, you know, and with kind of DeBoer having mostly kept Heiskanen off the penalty kill for the most part, and certainly off the top pairing, we just got kind of used to this idea of Heiskanen as a great even strength defenseman. Really great, just exceptional, really. We should say we don't want to minimize that by any stretch. Whose skills translate to being good on the power play, and whose intelligence and skating and stick work can also be good on the penalty kill. This year, there's a really concerted effort, and I know Sean has talked with you too on the program before about how that's been kind of a focus from Gullitson to utilize Heiskanen more as a number one defenseman and everything that goes along with that. So far, early returns. I got to be honest, I still have some reservations about how this is going to work itself out over the long term. There's also been some weird things with Heiskanen's hands early in the season, just some uncharacteristic bobbles. I wrote about a couple of them last night, even against Nashville. We had that one play, I think it was on the penalty kill or power play, and he's backing off trying to collect a puck from the board, slips off and kind of ends up being a half sort of breakaway. He's able to get back in pressure. But there have been a couple times earlier this season, more than a couple really, where it's just been uncharacteristic, even either a turnover or him losing a puck and giving up a chance the other way or making a read you just don't usually expect to see him misread. So overall, you wonder if maybe having the responsibilities ramp all the way back up like this soon might be bringing a little bit of not growing pains. I mean, this is a veteran NHL defenseman who, you know, has gotten some Norris buzz in past years. But it's just been a big change. So you wonder if that's going to take a little bit for him to acclimate to, and if he's maybe kind of just adjusting his cadence as a player to match it. I mean, that's all speculation, right? But yeah, it just, there's been some things, like you say, where Heiskanen hasn't looked the same this year, but also we know he's having to do a lot more than he has the last couple of years.
We're enjoying the Miko run, and we have 8 more years of it. And probably not enjoying the penalty minutes, but I know I'm sure he'll work on it. But I think a lot of it is aggressive play. The interference was tough last night because it led to a goal. And those are probably things that he's a little bit over aggressive as far as making physical contact with a player without the puck. But after that Bort goal, you pointed out the excitement level that he had yelling in Bork's ear as far as the pass and everything. And it got me thinking, watching over the weekend, and first and foremost, you broke the story about Jamie Benn beginning skating. It was on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan with Jim Nill on Friday. And we want Jamie Benn obviously back and healthy, but it did get me thinking, seeing the aggressiveness, the vocal nature of Mikko Rantanen. Could he be a next captain?
This is definitely something that comes up a fair amount. Something I was writing about in a piece this morning up on the site. Mikko Rantanen and Tyler Seguin's stalls are next to each other in the dressing room. Last year, he kind of came in and they just kind of put him where Logan Stankoven's stall was, as I recall, because that's the one that was available, and you don't want to change a bunch of other things, you know, for a guy who just comes over at the trade deadline. But this year, he and Seguin are kind of in the middle of one bank of stalls, and then Jamie Benn and Wyatt Johnson are in the middle of another bank of stalls. And it's a noticeable thing now that we see both of them. You know, last year we saw Seguin at the start of the year, and then he came back right before the playoffs. But this year, seeing both Seguin and Rantanen for all of training camp, preseason, and the regular season so far, there is a very similar sort of, they're very different people and players in a lot of ways, but there's also a similar sort of, just for lack of a better term, leadership that exudes from both of them in different ways. But Rantanen is certainly a player that, you know, last year, I think Wyatt Johnston, I wrote a piece last year about him being the youngest alternate captain in the NHL last year, was Wyatt Johnston for the times when he was wearing that letter due to some other injuries, but it was more than a couple games where he was wearing it. This is a long-winded way to answer your question, but I think every subsequent game that Mikko Rantanen plays, the more that argument starts to make sense that he could be the next one wearing the C. Now, you could also say the same thing about Wyatt Johnston.
Yeah.
Who used to be excellent, whose own, you know, just maturity and approach and excellence also just kind of blows you away. For me, the question could come down to, again, we're a ways out here. You know, Jamie Benn, by all accounts, is starting to skate and get back, and we'll probably see him back here in, you know, another month or so, depending on how that recovery goes. That's a big injury, collapsed lung. For me, the big question is, do the Stars want to do the thing they did before with Morrow handing it off to a young Jamie Benn who ended up being the captain for, you know, another decade plus? Do they want to do that with another young player and have it handed from Benn to Johnston, whenever that is, whether it's in 1 year or 3 years or 5 years or whatever? Or do they want a ready, for lack of a better term, a ready-made, established veteran vocal presence and kind of have more of leadership continuity, as opposed to, hey, let's kind of start this growth process again and go up from there? Jonathan Toews actually had he talked about how hard it was for him the other week on a podcast with Elliot Friedman and Kyle Koskis about being made a captain at the age of whatever it was, 21 or something like that. One of the youngest captains in the NHL, Gabe Landeskog, also was made captain around 20 or 19, yeah. I think. And Toews actually was really blunt in saying that was probably too much and probably too much too soon with everything he was trying to do in his career. So I think it's worth considering as a team whether they want to put that burden on Johnston. For me, I mean, Johnston still isn't wearing an A full time. So let's say for whatever reason this was Ben's last year with the Stars, that would be pretty early to put all that pressure on Johnston. So I could see an argument, maybe even if it's just for a couple of years, to give it to Mikko Rantanen, because that actually could be an easier way to make that transition to Johnston rather than rushing it. Even though Johnston has done excellently with every responsibility he's been given from a teenager on up.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
it is fascinating with Wyatt Johnston because he's so good and he's so consistently good. And if it's not offensively, he's making a play defensively, that maybe we don't talk about him enough. And I know that sounds weird because he's one of the stars of this Dallas Stars team, but it's just we're almost used to it. And it's very rare that he'll make a mistake.
I mean, Maverick Bork, to go back to your point about that goal where Bork made that great pass for that game-winning goal, that's, you know, in some ways, Maverick Bork hasn't been quite perform, you know, last year, kind of an up and down season, started off with a groin injury that, you know, is always going to make it tough for a hockey player, and kind of came on later in the second half. And this year also, you know, there's been good signs, but the scoring hasn't quite, you know, exploded out of the gate, to put it mildly. But you could see we're spoiled, is I guess the point, because people like Wyatt Johnston or Thomas Harley, whoever, who come up and just immediately start being excellent. Maverick Bork is in a pretty fine spot for a player who's, you know, in his second full season in the NHL, but because of our expectations and because of what Bork did in AHL 2 years ago as the MVP, expectations are really high. And I think, in fact, I don't even think, I'm sure that that's led to some frustration for him, especially last year. And I think Mika Rantanen knows that very well. And that, I think, explains why Rantanen was so happy for him, grabbing him kind of around the collar and just screaming into the side of his face about what a great, great play that was. And I think, again, back to your thing about Rantanen maybe being the next captain, that's the sort of thing that tells you, you know what, he could do that role if you asked him to.
As I mentioned last night on the post-game pod, I think a lot of NHL players would have turned and tried to cram it in, and everyone would have been fine with that. Mm-hmm. Amazing that he saw Rantanen and had the ability to put it across the crease.
When the pressure is a little less, and I think this is hopefully, you know, for the Stars' sake, going to be true for the team too, is they can, if they can continue to kind of put some distance between themselves and 500. When the pressure goes down, the vision gets better. I think that urgency and panic doesn't narrow your focus too much. You don't get that tunnel vision, and you start to make better plays, both, you know, in the broad sense and in the individual sense. And I think that's what you saw from Bork on that play last night, was even though everyone knew how much it meant for the Stars not to slip back to 500, how to, you know, build on coming back from 2-0, they were tied at the time, and scoring on this opportunity, it was the very final second of the power play. Bork wasn't frustrated, didn't panic and try to cram it. He found the best play and he made it. And that's a really, that to me is as positive sign as we've seen from Maverick Bork's development, maybe since he's been a full-time NHLer, just because of what it tells you about him not rushing, not panicking, about looking for the best play and having the skill to make it. That's a big deal for him.
Should we be worried about Matt Duchene as far as when he's coming back? And is it one of those things that they have to go day by day because of the injury, so that's why he hasn't been placed on injured reserve?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. What I know is that he's not, he was not diagnosed with a concussion. So, I know there's been some talk about that or what's going on, or, you know, he's been seen skating and practicing with a tinted visor or a regular visor or whatever. And so there's all sort of speculation out there. The Stars in the league take concussions very seriously. That's not to say their track record has been perfect, on concussions, the league at least. I'm not going to say anything about the team here, but just, of course, the NHL concussions, that's a more fraught discussion that we could have at another time. But we saw last year with Lee and Bischel, the Stars didn't mess around there. There were concussion-like symptoms, and he was out. He went through the whole concussion protocol and came back. It was about, I think, 6 or 7 days or so for him to come back, because you want to be really, really careful with brain injuries. And so I think the precedent has been there from the team that if there's a possible concussion and a diagnosis, they're going to do the protocol as they should. And make sure the player is only back when they're healthy. With Duchesne, he missed one game, but practiced a little bit, and then was back 2 games after that big hit that he took against Minnesota. But since then, he's been practicing some and skating some, also getting some treatment. That's the phrase the team has used, is getting treatment for some, residual effects of the hit that he took. And I mean, you could see on his face that, and from the hit itself by Jake Middleton, it was a big impact to the side of his face. So whatever those residual effects are and how they're trying to be managed, it is clear to me that what they're most focused on, both Duchesne and the team, is making sure that when he comes back as Matt Duchesne and not having to manage all of those effects and being a less player, because that not only can that be, that you're not 100%, you're not contributing, but that can also be dangerous as a player too. If you don't have your whole vision, you could take another hit, right? And have worse effects. So that's what I know, and that's what I'm pretty certain about. But as to your question about how worried should we be, he's day to day. So until he comes back and plays, then we know that he's not healthy. But he's also skating some. We've seen him skating fairly often, although not every day. So that to me says day to day is probably the most accurate way to term it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.